into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No,
videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Huge news in Irish rugby today with Paul O'Connell joining the Ireland senior coaching team as forwards coach. The former Munster and Ireland second row joins head coach Andy Farrell, set up with Simon Easterby switching his focus to defence. O'Connell, 41 now, he retired back in 2016, has dipped his toes into the world of coaching, took on an assistant coaching role with the Ireland under-20s and with Stade Francais, the latter as a forwards coach. He's also been involved with the Munster Academy. But this news, it seems, did come very much out of the blue. To discuss it, how it came about and what his role will be and the task ahead of him, I'm joined by the Irish Independent's Rory O'Connor. Evening, Rory.
Hey, Nathan.
And by Liam Tolan as well. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Nathan.
So, Rory, keep saying out of the blue. How out of the blue was this?
Yeah, very out of the blue. It's actually 5 years to the day since Andy Farrell was appointed as Joe Schmidt's assistant, which also came out of the blue at the time. So they've gotten pretty good at keeping some of these appointments under wraps. And I guess it's quite a similar appointment. It may be a different type of coach in that Andy Farrell was an experienced defence coach and Paul O'Connell is an inexperienced forwards coach. But I think Andy Farrell is looking for, I think he probably would see a bit of a kindred spirit in Paul O'Connell. I think he would see a lot of the values and respect in Paul O'Connell, that he would see the players would hold Paul O'Connell in kind of that esteem, that, you know, he'd be able to hold the room, that they would all have looked up to him growing up, the younger guys, and then the older players who played with him know the standards that he set. So, no, you're right, it's out of the blue. We didn't know he was, he'd always said he was keeping an open mind when it came to the number of coaches on his ticket, that it always looked slightly skinny and slightly, you know, a little bit lightweight, the coaching ticket. The talk was that maybe he would go and bring a kind of more experienced kind of mentor guru type in, but he's gone for an icon of the Irish game with huge respect in the dressing room, who with limited coaching experience, but I don't think that should take away from the status that O'Connell's in. And I think it's held in. And I think even though he has limited experience, I think no one really takes his knowledge for granted. I think even though he hasn't done a huge amount of coaching, I think he was kind of one of those players that was a bit of a coach when he was playing, and a bit of a, you know, his line out knowledge and all that sort of stuff that they bring to the table that we can discuss as we go on, you know, can't be underestimated.
In the statement from the IRFU, Andy Farrell said, Paul brings a wealth of rugby knowledge with him as forwards coach. He will have responsibility for the forwards, including the line-out, working alongside John Fogarty. He'll also be another strong voice and leader within the group. Simon Easterby has a real passion for defence, and having developed Ireland's forward play over the past 6 years with the additional responsibility for the defence over the past 12 months, he'll now be able to focus his energy and rugby intellect on this area of the game. Just before we move on to Liam then, Rory, what is the coaching structure now then?
Well, Andy Farrell is the head coach, so he would have been the defence coach, but obviously having moved up, he has responsibility for all elements of the game, including selection. So Simon Easterby was co-opted, was kind of forwards and defence, and that, you know, the forwards probably slipped, the line-out especially probably slipped because of that, and in part because of that, and also in part because Rory Best and Devin Toner, the two stalwarts who ran it for so long, had retired. You've Richie Murphy doing the skills, you've John Fogarty doing the scrum, you've now got O'Connell doing the forwards, and Mike Catt is kind of in charge of the game plan, the attack. You know, he implements the attacking side of the game plan and the set-piece attack and things like that. So, yeah, it's kind of a decent blend of homegrown coaches and the two English coaches as well. Still not a hugely experienced, like, you know, Farrell's a first-time head coach. You know, Catt has worked for Italy and England in the past. Easterby's been there a long time. Richie Murphy's been there a long time. And Fogarty was promoted from Leinster. So it's that's the structure. And then Mick Carney has been brought in, the former manager under Joe Schmidt. He's kind of a consulting manager. They kind of have him in on a part-time basis to kind of for kind of administrative, also player support, off-pitch support role as well.
Liam, on the one hand, this seems like a complete no-brainer. We're talking about as Rory said, an iconic figure in Irish rugby, a totemic leader, everything you would want in a dressing room. On the other hand, he is still quite inexperienced going into a coaching setup that is quite inexperienced. What's your take on it?
There's a huge win-win, really, in many ways. But if you look at the size of the squad, certainly when Paul O'Connell would have started his professional career, and certainly maybe going back to when I, say, joined Leinster back in the 90s and in Irish squads in the early 90s, there was one head coach and maybe a forwards coach. So when I joined Leinster, for example, Mike Ruddock was the head coach and Matt Williams was the backs coach, assistant coach. So there was two, and there was probably a little over 20 players. Whereas a quick look at the IRFU website now, you see there's 16 in staff and there's 41 players on the website. So that's 56, 57. That would easily go up to 60. So the role of a head coach has dramatically changed in the last 10, 15, 20 years. It's a decidedly different role. So Andy Farrell is now not just a rugby coach. He is a manager of an elite group of people, of 60 people, essentially. And I was listening to Jamie Gallagher, the Liverpool soccer pundit, who was articulating the challenges of soccer management, but he never referred to the amount of people that are involved. So the first challenge, I think, for Andy Farrell is the personality fit of Paul O'Connell. Like, he clearly is an achiever. He's captained the Lions, captain Ireland, captain all the teams he has. He's got definitely a ruthless pursuit of excellence. The type of research he does around the line-out has transformed the Irish line-out while he was there. And we see all the iconic pictures of him sailing high as if it was a fluke that he stole the opposition's ball or he won a line-out himself without anyone touching it at all. So that ruthless pursuit of excellence will be hugely beneficial. So the first question is the personality fit. And in any management group, there has to be kind of nerds and there has to be happy-go-lucky guys and there has to be, in every successful professional outfit has that. So Paul's personality is obviously a bit of both, but he clearly is a totem pole of excellence. The next question I'd ask is, well, what is success? So if he comes in, what has he been asked to achieve? So Ireland's line-out, certainly with the absence of Devon Toner, has, and maybe the new hooker combination, has struggled over recent matches. So what then becomes success? Is it simply winning the line-out? Is it having a really offensive line-out maul that scores tries in the corner like we used to do in the past? Defending line-out mauls? Or most importantly, is it a set piece that lays a trap for the opposition that allows guys like Gary Ringrose to kind of sail through and you go, wow, isn't Gary Ringrose brilliant? But the line-out actually created that opportunity. So there's an awful lot that goes on. And at the same time, there's a transition of players as well. So Caelan Darris is in, new players are coming in as well. So there's an awful lot on his plate, but it's very, very exciting.
That definition of success, does that all come in steps though, Liam? That actually, because there's been so much scrutiny on the Irish line-out across that Nations Cup and across the last couple of years, that you can look at the raw statistics at the end of this upcoming Six Nations, and if they're better, there'll have been an impact. And then actually maybe it takes 18 months, 2 years before that final bit that you're talking about around the finished product and Gary Ringrose being the beneficiary of it, that actually there is something that we should be able to see at the end of this Six Nations that O'Connell has brought to the party.
Yeah, like I think at elite level these guys are playing at, to being able to function under the greatest of pressure. So when you've got a hooker on his own 5-metre line, whoever that hooker happens to be, and Ireland are winning a game by 10 points to 8, and that hooker has to make the hit. So the lineup management, the functioning of all the units. So, you know, the lazy option is always to blame the hooker, but there's an awful lot of moving parts in a lineup, particularly in a lineup maul, particularly in a lineup maul that you want to use to score. So I think Paul O'Connell's ambition will go way beyond just simply sourcing the ball, but that's a very basic that we've struggled with in recent times. So that has to be sorted out. Like, who's the lineup manager? Who's the person who reads this? Like, O'Connell, and you think of O'Connell and John Hayes, you think the symbiotic relationship those two guys had, but it wasn't just those two guys. The success the Irish lineup has had with Malcolm McKelly, Donegh O'Callaghan, Mick O'Driscoll, and Simon Easterby, and all these guys, it doesn't happen by accident. So I think he probably will change the foundation of what is happening. I think the lineout has changed in terms of its function over time. The days of kicking to the corner, scoring lineout mauls, tries, I won't say it's quite dead, but it's not providing that function anymore. Mm. So it's going to be difficult. But I think our ambition should be much grander than just simply sourcing the ball.
Rory, one of the reasons this came as a surprise as well is that nobody seemed quite sure as to what Paul O'Connell's current ambitions were around coaching. So go back 18 months, 2 years, the dream team of O'Gara and O'Connell coming back and taking over at Munster. And since then, O'Gara has thrown himself into coaching and very much sees himself and is a head coach. Whereas O'Connell, as I said, has dipped his toes in and has been in and around the game, but he's been doing some punditry as well. Is this a clear sign now that actually a coaching role, a forwards coach role, moving on to a head coach role, that he's somebody who's going to be around on the training pitch around Irish rugby for years to come?
I think so, because he would have weighed this up very, very heavily and thought a lot. You know, he's a thoughtful kind of character. I don't think he jumps into anything without thinking about it an awful lot. I did a piece 5 years after he retired from Munster. It was during lockdown. 5 years after his last Munster game, I did a piece wondering whether Irish rugby was letting Paul O'Connell slip through its fingers, that, you know, they hadn't found a role for someone with this level of kind of rugby intellect and influence, who should really be one of the driving forces of Irish rugby. And it's great that they haven't. But at that time, I'd spoken to a couple of people who'd worked with him, people who were close to him, and they weren't sure. They thought that he had what it took to be a coach. They thought that he was, you know, I talked to Mike Prendergast, who worked with him at Stade Francais, who's now running things at Racing 92 to brilliant effect. And he was like, he was brilliant at Stade. It just was a bit of a clash of culture between him and Prendergast and one or two other coaches with Heineke Meyer, the South African, in terms of how they want to run things. And he walked, and I think he was quite bruised by the experience of, you know, life outside of the Irish bubble, how things could go in the professional environment. I think he found the level of commitment involved quite draining in terms of his family life. I think he's an obsessive character. I think that's fair to say that he would throw himself into the analysis side of the game. He would spend hours and hours in Stade's headquarters with Mike Prendergast, pulling apart game tape, analysing the opposition line out to death, all the things that he would have done as a player. But having retired, I think he wanted to spend time with his young family and his wife. And maybe that side of things showed him that maybe club coaching wasn't for him at this stage of his life. Whereas the international game, it's very intense, sharp windows of kind of 8 weeks or less. But then you go back to your family and you have a lot of time with them. So, you know, there's travel, there are commitments involved, but it maybe suits where he is in his life right now. And I think now that they have him in there, and they can give him that exposure, I think he'll like working with the Irish players. I think they'll respond really well to them. I think he'll maybe dealing with players from all around the world who maybe don't take on the same level of data, who are more reliant on their individual brilliance at Stade. I think in Ireland, constantly hearing from foreign coaches that they can't get over the level of detail that Irish players can take in. And I think he'll like working with James Ryan, with Ryan Baird, with Ian Henderson, who he knows really, really well. You know, maybe bringing Ulton Dolan up to another level, because Ulton Dolan is, it can be a quality, you know, that kind of thing. I think that challenge will really appeal to him. And to go back to what Liam was saying, I mean, he's the architect of this Irish lineout. I remember talking to Devon Toner about how Devon Toner basically inherited this playbook from Paul O'Connell. And Devon Toner has probably passed that on, you would assume, to James Ryan and Ian Henderson now. But it was created, you know, by Paul, or was certainly worked on by Paul O'Connell and Gert Small. So while they're taking it to a new level, like the amount of knowledge that he brings to the table about the way Ireland go about things, he's going from such a high knowledge base coming in at the start. And I think Munster may be the beneficiaries of this down the line if he chooses, you know, if he likes it, if in 3 years' time after the World Cup, you know, if O'Gara comes back, O'Connell's got 2 or 3 years of real international experience. So it's huge for Irish rugby, because it would be a real shame for him to be just on the BBC once a year, because I think he's of way more value than that.
Yeah. Liam, we're tight enough on time, but I saw some comments from Declan Kidney. I think they were described as being tongue-in-cheek, where he said, "I'm a bit worried for the Ireland squad. They probably don't know what's about to come their way." And there is a sense with O'Connell, it is that fear of God speech, that it's all passion. But actually what Rory touched on there, that rugby intellect, is something, like, I don't know Paul O'Connell, but anytime you meet him, he's always far more softly spoken than you would ever expect. There's a depth of thought there that actually is going to be just as important as that speech that's probably only happened as a forwards coach. You're given that once probably, and that's about it.
Well, I think that video, which highlighted that particular speech in the dressing room, does Paul a considerable disservice, and indeed rugby a disservice, because the amount of intellect and grey matter that goes into the week's preparation before a big fixture like that is enormous. It's all about how the mind is working. Obviously, 2 minutes before you go out onto the test itself, there is a sense of heightened adrenaline that's required, etc. But like, I think O'Connell certainly is that type of brain that would be very, very helpful. So for me, it's how the senior management fits. So John Fogarty and him. So the pulling and dragging of how much time O'Connell and Fogarty get to enhance the set piece of the scrum and the lineout. And then we factor in then the likes of Mike Catt, how much time he gets from a skill set and from a development of the offense. So that's why Andy Farrell's possible greatest challenge isn't Paul O'Connell's knowledge, because he's buckets of it.
Yeah.
It's how he's going to make the most out of his 16 staff and subsequent 60 players and staff overall. And that's going to be a very, very interesting challenge. And who gets the priority of time? Because that's, going back to what Rory was saying there, one of the real challenges is the lack of time.
Yeah. And we're what, a month away from the start, less than the start of the Six Nations. So it'll be interesting to see and to hear from Paul O'Connell. He'll be another interesting voice, I'm sure, across the week at the various media briefings. Rory, great stuff as always. Liam, good to talk to you.
Thanks. Take care.
You can get all our rugby coverage on the OTB Sports app. Just subscribe and you'll get all our podcasts, Monday Night Rugby, Wednesday Night Rugby, Brian O'Driscoll and all of that jazz. Football show coming up after 9 o'clock. It's a John Giles special, looking back on the football across Christmas. But up next, we're going to be talking to a man who'll hope to get plenty of opportunities under Paul O'Connell. Finian Wisherley is coming up right after this.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.